Hello and a very warm welcome to this special Wednesday edition of Music Weekly. I'm Alexis Petridis, and coming up on today's show, we'll have full reaction to the winners and losers from last night's Brit Awards. This week's Singles Club brings you Rihanna, The Big Pink, and, in remix form, The XX. And your label showing is back, this time on a hip-hop tip, as we feature Big Dada Records. And that's all in Music Weekly. So, this is a special midweek version of Music Weekly, brought to you 2 days early, 2 whole days early, so we can discuss last night's Brit Awards at Earl's Court. And to help us do this from The Observer, it's Kitty Empire. Hello, Kitty.
Howdy.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks very much. Bit depressed I wasn't at the Brits, I was just watching on telly.
I'm also joined by Rosie Swash, who was at the Brits last night.
I was indeed.
But has, with the application of hypnotherapy and massage treatment and intravenously injected diazepam, calmed down enough to come in and talk to us about it. Bit of a late one, Rosie?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm here, aren't I?
Okay. I'm not your teacher.
Yeah.
Rosie, we'll be hearing a bit more about your experiences
okay.
in a bit.
I'd like to point out that she is wearing a comfy jumper.
Yes, yeah. Comfy jumper, glasses, hair scraped back.
Pair of slippers. Hot water bottle.
Exactly.
But look, let's first remind ourselves of last night's big Brit stories.
Hello, welcome to the Brit Awards. 20 minutes of entertainment dragged over a two-hour show.
Winner of British Group is... Kasabian!
All I can say is, everyone, you cannot make an omelette without breaking some eggs. Thank you!
And the winner is Lily Allen.
Oh, my God! I only wore this orange wig because I thought it would make it harder for them to find me, the cameraman, and catch my disappointed face.
That's right.
By Florence and the Machine.
There are so many people that helped me make this album and so many people who supported it, people like you.
And the winner, who do you think the winner is? It's Dizzy Rascal.
Was that it?
Whoa. It's about time as well.
So Dizzy Rascal, congratulations. How does it feel?
It's good, man. I'm over the moon. Overwhelmed. Wicked. Ridiculous, especially being an independent artist as well.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue who the winner is. Okay, it's JLS. Woo!
It's incredible to think that the JLS story started 18 months before we entered a show called The X Factor. And now we're holding this. We never ever thought this would happen. You've made all our dreams come true.
Be pleased to know I'm not going to sing, but only because I don't want to show up the next act. The Brits is a celebration of all that is totally outstanding and unique about British music.
It's Lady Gaga!
Thank you so, so much. I love my fans. Thank you, my fans in the UK, thank you.
The winner is... Ra ra ka ka la, mama papa la, Lady Gaga!
This is for Alexander McQueen.
And the winner is Jay-Z!
There was two major moments in my life over here across the pond where everybody was open to the fact that hip-hop playing Glastonbury, and we proved that hip-hop can play anywhere in the world. And I want to thank all the fans for that.
God gave me the sunshine. Showed me my lifeline. Was told it was all mine. Got this award for my lifetime.
Amazing scenes from Earl's Court there. So what did we think of it? I'm going to ask Rosie first, because you were actually there.
Yes.
I like Kitty, watched it from the comfort of my own sofa with a bottle of appealingly ballsy red at my elbow. And I've never enjoyed the Brits so much in my life. You were there. What was it like? Was it good?
Well, it was better than last year.
Whoa! Don't go overboard. Calm down.
Mainly because last year was... U2 kicked it off with just this horrible, cold, cold performance.
Really?
Get on your boots. I just thought it was awful. Yeah. And I think, Dizzy Rascal winning is just felt very deserved. And, you know, typical Brit style, way, way too late in a person's career to actually honour them. But it was really nice to see him win. There was some quite genuine moments like that. So
Excellent. Kitty, what did you make of Peter Kay as presenter?
Peter Kay was not exactly on fire, but he at least brought a very dry sensibility.
He did describe Kasabian as Leicester's answer to Aswad, which I thought was very fun.
Speaking of Kasabian, what on earth is Tom Mayen doing? Does he look like Brandon Flowers or what?
I know, he once again appeared to be delivering a party political broadcast on behalf of the cocaine party, didn't he? And also, what's an omelette? I mean, apparently you can't make one without breaking eggs. It's a bit like an omelette. I've worked out what they should do with the Brits, with the presenters thing. Because everybody, the one everybody really loves talking about, Sam Fox and Mick Fleetwood, I've worked out what they should do next year. Kerry Katona and Kelly from Block Party do it together. Kerry Katona, couple of grams of nose up, autocue that doesn't work, and Kelly will hold it together. It'll be amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. Lily Allen finally got an award. Another quite late thing, really.
Well, the first round of nominations for her were the year that Amy Winehouse won, and I think, you know,
that's a bit like going up against Usain Bolt, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's just not going to happen.
But when she goes up against Pixie Lott, it's a different story.
It is. The bar has been lowered slightly, yeah.
And, you know, in typical Lily Allen fashion, she managed to go from being able to stand up for her performance at the beginning of the show to absolutely annihilated within a matter of about an hour. Made no sense whatsoever and wore a rather unpleasant wig for reasons
on the subject of not making any sense whatsoever. The beginning of her performance, on which she appeared to arrive on stage on a bomb to sort of air raid. It seemed to be
what was the
referencing the Blitz
Battle of Britain sheet going on there,
intended to galvanise any watching
also,
survivors of the Blitz.
Her performance highlights something that needs to stop at the Brits, and people need to stop having Union Jacks incorporated into their performances, please.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
horrible.
Couldn't agree more. On the performance side of things, I suppose the two big performances, Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, who, like, from the perspective of my living room, did appear to be kind of quite a bit better than sort of everybody else.
And they didn't do anything spectacular.
No, they just came on and did their job properly.
Yeah. Sang, stayed upright, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we had Florence and Dizzy Rascal. Kitty, did you enjoy Florence and Dizzy Rascal?
It was so much better than it otherwise could have been.
Mm. Yeah.
They were very wise in using Florence as the hook rather than having Dizzy come do a sort of a guest rap on her track. It was done rather skillfully. And I thought they really weren't that... They were pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I think they stood up with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. I think that was...
I think there's always that sort of capacity for disaster when they do those things. I think anyone who saw the Rihanna and the Claxons thing is absolutely remarkable.
You always get the feeling those artists have never even met each other before.
Before they went on stage.
And you didn't get that feeling, you know, last night with
I think they've met each other.
Yeah, I think they maybe even bonded over the last couple of days of rehearsals.
If I can throw a couple of visual images in there, I thought Cheryl Cole's dancers, the army of Mossad agents disguised as...
Yeah.
Janet Jackson were...
A bit weird.
Oh, so bad.
That was an interesting choice. And also, one of JLS, possibly Marvin. I'm afraid you can sack me now, but
I wouldn't
genuinely
know.
Genuinely can't really tell you what all their names are, but one of them was wearing a one-armed cowl, possibly in tribute to
Simon
Cowell.
The thing that I find remarkable about JLS is, one-armed cowl or not, they all look like they work in the Carphone Warehouse. When they come on, it just looks like the Carphone Warehouse Christmas party. Those are some of our thoughts on the highlights of the evening. But really, the night belonged to one girl, one lady. Lady Gaga. She picked up three awards, which is more than any other artist. Let's hear a bit more from her.
I've got my head and my heart on the dance floor.
Yeah. silicone, saline. I feel so honored and blessed, and I love my fans so much, and I just can't believe it. I had such a wonderful evening. It was made last night in heaven with magical angels. Yes, to all my British fans, I just want you all to believe in yourselves and never give up on your dreams, because I was rejected for so long and I had such a difficult time in the music industry, and I've always been an outsider. And I would like to thank the British public tonight for making me feel like I was part of their club. She's a mess, she's a mess, till the girl is
stressed. I think more than anything else, we established fairly thoroughly last night that Lady Gaga really loves her British fans. I personally, watching her live performance, just thought, I don't know why the rest of you don't just pack up now and go home, because this is just better than everything else on here put together. But don't let that, my opinions, influence your thoughts on the greatest pop star in the world. Kitty, what did you make of Lady Gaga?
I was quite disappointed by her acceptance speeches.
Yeah, yeah. They're rubbish, weren't they?
The sort of Oscar-level type, bottom lip trembling, slightly breathy, I'm going to cry.
She seems to get more like that with each one as well,
doesn't
she?
And, you know, clearly, you are allowed to be overcome with emotion when you're being presented with a Brit Award, because it's marvellous. But she's genuinely not a silly girl. She's quite a clever lady. And you would have just hoped she could have been slightly more articulate about that.
Yeah.
Or even just a bit mysterious and weird.
Yeah. You wonder if that kind of actually reveals a sort of universal truth about Lady Gaga, and the sort of carapace of all this, like, I'm carrying a teacup and I'm a bit like Andy Warhol thing that she does. And actually, at root, what she is doing is dressing up pop music. You know what I mean? Very straightforward, very mainstream pop music in a kind of exciting clothes. But she is dressing them up in fantastically exciting clothes, it has to be said.
Her choice of musical performance was a bit weird. I think generally speaking, people would have been happier had they recognised any of what she was doing. But still, absolutely dazzling, yeah.
Kind of a moment of edginess, though, I thought. There was definitely a real WTF factor when she started playing, and she didn't do Poker Face or she didn't do Bad Romance or something like that, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't recognise that she did Dance in the Dark and Telephone, because Telephone was completely different.
That's the first I've heard about it.
She completely changed it.
Right.
And then going into Dance in the Dark was quite... I think it was exceptionally well executed and also very natural, and just like I could toss this off whenever I wanted, because I'm a good performer.
To a degree, typically Oasis kind of provided the controversy. I think it's a two-way split between Oasis and Cheryl Cole, with her peculiar, she appeared that she obviously had a very rough week and it clearly had some sort of effect on her lips, which didn't actually seem to match the music and the singing that was coming out of the speakers. The other controversy, to a degree, was Liam Gallagher. Although it has to be said, being surprised at Liam Gallagher coming on the telly and swearing is a bit like being surprised when petrol comes out of a petrol pump, isn't it? I mean, so let's hear Liam Gallagher picking up the award for What's the Story, Morning Glory, which was voted the best album of the last 30 years. WTF face. Let's listen to him.
Then the award is a British rock legend. He's just about to record the theme to the new James Bond film. It's Mr. Noddy Holder.
Yeah! Every year, the Brits gives a gong to the best British album. And this year, to celebrate the 30th birthday, they put the 10 biggest selling winners into a hat and let the public choose their all-time favourite. And the winner is... What's the Story, Morning Glory, Oasis!
Listen, kids. I want to thank Bonehead, Quiggs, Alan White, Live Forever.
What a knobhead. Okay.
That was Peter Kay's kind of greatest
Never
moment of the night, was
spoken.
It? Wasn't it? It was
highlight
fantastic.
Of the night.
Yeah, it was just one of those things, one of those moments where somebody sums up exactly what you're thinking. I thought that was fabulous. What's the Story, Morning Glory? It has to be said, in that list of albums that it could have been, it was like, I mean, it was by far the edgiest sort of choice, which is saying something. I think that had more to do with the fact that the competition was like No Jacket Required by Phil Collins and Deacon Blue or something. I can't remember. The other things were Hue and Cry.
Phil Collins,
amazing.
What I thought was quite weird about them winning and also having a high presence of Spice Girl on the night was that it just didn't fit at all with what else was happening. It just felt it felt retro in completely the wrong way.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's really true. And also, there was a point where I just sort of thought, Jerry Alawak had coming on. She got an award, she presented an award. It was like she was going round.
Do you think they had lots of people pull out at the last minute?
Did it seem a bit like that,
Tom Ford?
It?
Oh, he's in town, I know.
True.
The presenter choices are always very strange.
Very, very, very bizarre. But yeah, I just expected at the after-show party, they're getting the money's worth out of Jerry Alawak. We're walking around with a tray of sticky sausages. Anyway, well, that's the Brits. I think fairly thoroughly wrapped up. Well, roll on next year. That's all I can say. Let's move on to Singles Club, the section of the pod where we each nominate a recent single release to chew the fat over. Let us know what you think. guardian.co.uk/musicweekly, or one word, is the place for your posts. And let's start with Kitty's choice. Kitty, your choice there, Velvet by The Big Pink, being reissued. Explain yourself. Tell us why you brought that in.
Choosing a reissue is a bit crap, really, isn't it? But
I didn't say that.
No. Clearly, there is so much exciting new music pouring out of people
Absolutely.
Every week that it seems a bit wrong to revisit something that has been out once, possibly twice before, and everyone, you know, it's about a couple of years old at least. I do think it merits more love. Obviously, they had a bigger hit with Dominoes, but for me, this is the anthem of The Big Pink. There's so many good things to say about it, but the bit that I would like to focus on is the pause when he goes, "I don't know." That kills me. It absolutely kills me.
You are of an age, like myself, where you kind of probably
Steady.
Remember this. Sorry. Very ungentlemanly of you, but, you know, let's be honest here. Where you probably remember this kind of music the first time around.
Very fondly.
I think you say very faintly.
Very fondly.
I was two. Yeah, is that one of the reasons you like it? Do you think because it evokes memories of the halcyonic days of 1989?
Well, quite possibly. I think music has become too clear of late. Well, pop music has become too clear and tidy of late.
Right.
And there's been a bit of a fight back in terms of, let's not call it psychedelia because it isn't, but layered production, which I gather is not that sexy a thing to talk about, but the way that they just, drizzle, more and more honey and tar over everything that they play. Similarly, there's a trend, if you can call it something so debased, in America with bands like Animal Collective being kaleidoscopic, and there's all sorts of stuff going on there. And I like that in music in general, and I think The Big Pink are good purveyors of... They've also got quite a lot of Phil Spector going on there, that kind of wall of sound, overwhelming the speakers, which is, I think, as an aesthetic thing, I'm all for that.
Excellent. Rosie, you're not old enough to remember this kind of music first time around, are you? Because you're about nine.
It's completely new. I like their take on pop. I agree with what Kitty was saying. And I've always really liked the vocal effect that they have in their records because I think it underlines the anthemic feeling they've got, that they're not afraid of a big hook. And they know a good hook when they come across it. But my problem with them is as a band is that I've read so many interviews with them, particularly in the NME, where they come across very badly as a band, and they should probably stop letting NME journalists follow them around on tour in European cities because they don't come across as a sort of
witty, sense? What do they do? Are they kind of pretentious or are they just doing loads of drugs?
It does seem quite pretentious, but also just quite moronic. I think one of the NME articles they had where the lead singer was talking to a a journalist in Germany or something like that. And after the interview was finished, he kind of turned around and went, "She's DTF, down to..."
Oh, right, oh dear. Did he really?
And it's just like, what?
I've met them. I thought they were right, to be honest with you. I met them in New York.
Sexist.
I like that single. Sounds a bit like Curve. There you go. Anyway, Velvet by The Big Pink is out again on February the 22nd. And now it's Rosie's selection. Give it to me, baby, like boom, boom, boom. What I want is what you want. That was Rude Boy by Rihanna. That is Rosie's choice. Rosie, tell us about Rude Boy by Rihanna.
I didn't really like Rated R. I didn't really like her album at all. And because of that, gave everything a cursory listen and then just didn't go back to it. And then the video for this song appeared online at the end of last week. And it's very derivative of what Major Lazer are doing and MIA has done before. But it's still far better than any other music video she's done, and it sort of gave the song a new dimension for me, in the same way that I wasn't really into Bad Romance by Lady Gaga until I saw the video 400 times. I thought it was so good. The reason that I like the song is I interviewed Rihanna a while ago, and she said she hated that song, If It's Loving That You Want. Do you remember that from the first album? Like real syrupy calypso pop song, which I think is very good. And she was really keen to not get stuck with doing anything Caribbean just because she's from Barbados. Sure. And in a way, and then so then she goes off and does all this Europop, which I just find quite horrible. Mm-hmm. She's at her best, I think, when she's expressing other people's ideas. And so this is...
I don't know what you're sniggering at. Although nothing wrong with being a conduit for other people's ideas.
She gets a songwriting credit on this along with about 10 other people, which is baffling because the song is basically drums and a steel drum riff, that's about it, and not very imaginative lyrics. Her voice is perfect for this song because it's actually very nonchalant and detached, and I just think it really works well in this genre, and the lyrics have a bit of swagger and it's not pushing too much.
I completely agree. I think, I like you, I wasn't very keen on Rated R as an album, and this was one of the tracks I liked about it. And what I liked about it is that, in contrast to most R&B divas, who really go for that heavily melismatic, wah body form kind of vocal style, her sort of default setting, she sounds like she's about to go... you know, which I really like. Yeah. And I think in the context of this song where she's singing, you know, come on, rude boy, can you get it up? And it sounds like she's literally saying that, looking at a watch going, you know, because America's Next Top Model is on in about 15 minutes, you know, give me a break here. I really liked it. Kitty, do you really like it?
Yeah, like it very much. There's I know I spent a lot of time earlier talking about how I like complicated production, so I'm about to become a complete hypocrite, but I like the fact that it's nothing but some lyrics and a beat and a kind of a hook. And also, I think Rated R was actually quite a good record. I think I like it a bit better than either of you two did. But really, you know, she does sound nonchalant. She sounds like she's on the top deck of a bus, kind of showing off to her friends. And let's not over-egg it. It's not genius, but really perfectly serviceable. Very, very, very enjoyable.
Excellent. So sort of, thumbs up for that as well. Thumbs up for The Big Pink, thumbs up for Rihanna. Here is my singles club selection. Watch things on VCR. River means up and down big lungs. I think we're superstars. That was the Matthew Dear remix of VCR by the XX, which is my choice for this week's singles club. I love the XX. And I think that, I really do, I think they're just genuinely an amazing band. And one of the things I like about them is that they do sort of lend themselves to being remixed, I think, in a way that few sort of indie bands do, in that her voice in particular is this sort of incredibly soulful, sexy, heavy-lidded kind of smoke. She sounds like she's just been having it off. I think that works. You can take that voice and you can put it over dance beats in pretty much any style and it's going to work. It's a sort of movable feast. And it doesn't sound like your standard sort of indie dance remix. I like the sort of little references to old Trevor Horn kind of productions and sort of Art of Noisy things that were going on in there. I really like it. Rosie, do you like it?
I agree with what you said about the vocals. Oh. It just stretches them out a little bit more. Yeah. And I think the vocals are one of the strongest things the XX have. It just works so brilliantly for them. So it's really nice to hear it in a different context. But another thing that the XX have is atmosphere. That kind of, you know, I don't know if there's any other way of describing it because it's just so distinctive to them. And I don't hear it in this remix, but what it does is takes another lesser aspect of them, which is they've got a great groove, not to sound like someone's granddad, but it takes that and basically makes them quite funky, which is a side of them that you could forget
totally,
existed from the record.
Excellent. Kitty, what did you recommend?
Well, it was nice to finally hear it as intended. The sound card on my laptop makes everything into a great cut-up glitch anthem.
Wow, really?
It's
everything sounds like Square Push.
Yeah, or worse. And so I would say that the thing that I thought it might almost tip over into doo-wop at one point. It's so, the rhythm is so sort of blum, blum, blum. No, very good. Nice to have heard it in its entirety at last.
Excellent. So we all liked everything this week, didn't we?
That's a bit disappointing, brilliant. Isn't it?
I'll bring in something really rubbish next week and we'll try and sort that out. VCR by the XX, the Matthew Dear remix, is out now. I certainly can get hold of it online. A few posts for you now from the miracle of the interweb. In response to our Gil Scott-Heron album review, Lester Jones writes, "What's going on when creatively interesting albums are seen as brave and daring? Jesus, man! Is there nowhere the shopkeepers don't control?" On your side, brother. There was also a bit of discussion going on between SV80 and EJD about Fool's Gold and their fusion of different styles. SV80 wrote, "It's fascinating to hear a song in Hebrew played in a style more associated with the Islamic world. I don't know how much of an overt link traditional Jewish music has with the neighbouring forms in the Middle East, but it's really interesting to hear the way they've brought everything together." EJD replies, "I would say that in Sephardi Jewish culture, there's definitely a preponderant Middle Eastern feel to the music, mixed in with Spanish influences. For example, check out Enrico Macias, a Jewish pied noir by way of Algeria. All the Sephardis I know have North African musical culture ingrained in them, belly dancing, etc." It's interesting to see debate about Sephardi Jewish culture provoked by our humble little podcast, isn't it? I think we can all feel a warm glow about that. Thanks for all your comments on the blog, and don't forget, we've got a Facebook page too. Just search for Music Weekly on Facebook and you'll find us easily enough. And it's Music Weekly Pod, that's all one word, if you want to find us on Twitter. Now for the fairly newish feature we call Your Label Showing. We're going to take a look at Big Dada Records, the UK-based hip-hop label, which has brought us Roots Maneuver, Diplo, Spank Rock and Infesticons, amongst others. This is the founder of Big Dada Records to explain more.
My name's Will Ashen. I founded Big Dada Recordings. I was a music journalist in the sort of mid-90s, I guess, writing about hip-hop. That was my sort of chosen area of speciality. Around the time that I was starting out as a journalist was also the time that in New York, the kind of New York underground explosion happened with groups like Company Flow and Juggernauts and Mos Def and people like that. I kind of slightly naively thought that it was going to explode out from this basis and that it would be an international movement and that people would, that it would change the face of modern music, none of which actually happened. But so I wanted to contribute to that in a way from the UK and you know give the UK a base for that sort of music.
But bruh, you got to leave.
I had this idea. I thought, oh, I'm going to set up a record label. That'd be great. But I don't have any money and I didn't have any experience. So I kind of thought, well, who could I speak to about this? And the only person I could think of really, who I thought wouldn't laugh at me or be rude to me, was Peter Quick. I'd interviewed him along with John Moore from Cold Cut for a piece for a magazine about Ninja Tune. So I'd met him a couple of times and he seemed like a straight up guy. I think the beauty of Ninja Tune is that compared to a lot of people in the music industry, everyone's quite ordinary and nice and approachable. So I just said to Pete, rang him up and said, oh, would you, if you got a moment, to have a chat about something, kind of thing. And he said, yeah, all right, yeah. So I came in and we went and had a drink and he sort of said, yeah, okay, we'll give it a go. We'll do a few singles and see how it goes as it goes along. So that was how it began. So yeah, Ninja have backed it from the start. Let the movements be made, there's goals to be getting. No second for no love in the fetting. Why there's all these ugly bands on my TV screen? I wrap my head with photo, so I don't catch them beams. The sound of a loner, don't pray for step solo. We far flung frontier, Captain Kirk, the sun, Trekker, full time I climb. My chip deep and taut as I sow seeds of thought. The biggest selling artist is Roots Manuva. I mean, when we started off, Pete said, you can do some singles. So we did three or four singles. I knew Rodney Roots Manuva from the UK hip-hop scene. Basically, I'd interviewed him and talked to him in the past. I loved everything he'd done. So I went to him and said, oh, would you do a single for Big Dada? And he said, oh, I'm tired of doing singles, man. I'll do an album. Oh, okay. So I went back to Pete, and Pete knew Rodney's stuff as well, and said, oh, yeah, okay. He helped me make the transition from being a singles label to being an albums label. Then, so our first artist album was Brand New Second Hand. And 2 years later, we did Run Come Save Me, which I think is, in the UK, is probably the best-selling record we've ever done. Because right now, I see clearer than most. I sit here contented with this cheese on toast. There's Juice Aleem, who was on the very first release and is still releasing stuff with us now. I jump on when the tracks are mics, more fists to the fight, put fingers in the dike, spit in your face to clear your eyesight. Talk to me, brother. One of the best freestylers I've ever heard from anywhere in the world. I think if he was American, he would be revered internationally, but unfortunately for him, he was born in Birmingham and not Birmingham, Alabama even. Mike Ladd, superb kind of maverick genius who has almost been too clever and too forward thinking for his audience in a way. He's always so many steps ahead that people are constantly going, huh? But then, you know, I mean, I think the first Investicons album is one of the records I'm proudest of putting out. I'm gone with ass like that girl in Splash. Ain't life fantastic? Switch gender spastic. Impale the she male. Douse her champagne. I think as a whole, when you hear a Big Dada record, you know it's a Big Dada record. Not always. I mean, there are always exceptions, but I think overall, there's a feel to our releases, if nothing else, which isn't consistent, but you can point at it when you come across it. I can see you held it down and learn patience, cause some reasons are without an explanation. This is my song, so I'll explain the situation. But wear your business out, girl, cause that's a bait thing. I saw you at the station, like it's working, going money half a mix, so just stick to what you're doing. It's crazy, cause together we could have made cheese. Cause I did, and truthfully, you're bright like me. You can't please everybody all of the time. Some people will always think that they can do better elsewhere, or that you've not done enough for them. I mean, I think our conscience is fairly clear on what we do for all of our artists. I mean, not everything goes right, and you can't always, you know, mistakes are always made, but I think for a small label, we do a really professional job and we work really hard for all our acts, and some of them are going to be pleased with us and others are going to be less pleased, and you just have to shrug and let it go, really, because it doesn't do any good to worry about it too much. Better than what? Better than who? Better than me? I'm better than you. Better than what? Better than who? Better than me? I'm better than you. Better than what? Better than who? Better than me? I'm better than you. We've got lots of stuff coming up. I mean, there's stuff that I can't talk about because the contracts aren't actually signed that I'm really excited about, but we've got a young kid from Liverpool called Mr. Bang On, or Bang On, who I think is a fantastic young MC. He's only 19, rhymes in a really thick Liverpudlian accent. We've got the Jammer album coming up. He's another sort of grime pioneer. And his album's shaping up really nicely. It should be done within the next month or so. We're also working with a guy called Camelot, who's actually Jammer's cousin and is a member of Boy Better Know as well, and he's going to do us an album. He's started in the last 6 months or year or so, he started singing rather than emceeing, and he's amazing. I think his record will be really exciting. Taking a few different directions musically, spreading out what we do a bit, which should be exciting. I think it'll be an exciting time for us, and we'll see what happens with it. Probably will go horribly wrong.
Better than what? Better than who? Better than me? I'm better than you. Can you do better?
That's Will Ashton, the founder of Big Dada Records, there, talking about the label. The first time I think he's ever spoken to the press about the Mercury winner speeched about leaving the label under a bit of a cloud. Didn't give too much away. You could sort of tell, I thought, listening to what he was saying, that he was being enormously tactful.
Mm.
And perhaps there were...
Professional.
Perhaps there were emotions running a little bit deeper than he was willing to admit. She was a bit hasty, wasn't she? Don't we think?
Made a bit of an error.
I think it's just particularly unfortunate in the case of a label like Big Dada, because whatever else you make of it, and obviously it probably doesn't have the ability to promote your records in the way that a major label would, it's clearly a label that's being run for all the right reasons by someone who absolutely puts their heart and soul into the, you know, relentlessly maligned genre of UK hip-hop. You know, there's not that many people willing to put their balls on the line in the way that Will has done with Big Dada. And it did seem spectacularly ungrateful to turn around and basically blame him for the fact that nobody liked your album, didn't it?
And also, just how deluded do you have to be? How many UK female MCs are there in the charts? What can you really expect? Yeah. She obviously just, it all went to her head massively. Mm. And I think everything that she's done since has just been idiotic.
It's been kind of one disaster after another, really, yeah, for her, isn't it?
I think if you're going to give a Big Dada rapper a Mercury Award, for goodness sake, give it to the right rapper.
Yeah.
You know, it's just mind-boggling how that record won. Mm. I mean, clearly the other Big Dada rapper wasn't actually on the list that year.
Of course.
But fact fans. She's fully within her rights to throw a strop and be a teenager because, you know, that's what perfectly reasonable behaviour in that scenario. But yeah, I do feel appallingly bad for Will and the label. They are clearly a great outfit, and I think they've been hard done by.
But they've come out of it very well. There's so many people have come out and said that was a terrible decision, yeah, and you are a great label. That must be quite heartening for them.
Yeah, absolutely. What do we think of the label, Big Dada, generally? Are we fans? I mean, they have put out, you know, I've got to be honest with you, I haven't listened to the entirety of their output, but it strikes me that they've put out British hip-hop records that have genuinely made an impact above and beyond what British hip-hop normally does. You know, the minute you ever say anything like this about British hip-hop, you get people hammering you on the, how dare you not support British hip-hop? I'm not saying that British hip-hop isn't good, I'm just saying that it doesn't do as well commercially as it might. And a record like Roots Maneuvers, Run Come Save Me, did.
There's a couple of things to talk about that. Obviously, Roots Maneuver, clearly a class act.
Yeah.
You know, absolute genius. I have absolutely no idea why his last album, Slime and Reason, was not a hit. It was a commercial production. Mm. He dumbed down his rhymes to double his dollars, just like Jay-Z did. You know, he's pure class. However, Will was talking about all these grime MCs that he's now working with, and I think, you know, Will's a hip-hop man, and they've had to diversify to keep up with the, you know, with the current climate. Obviously, you know, grime and its related genres, you know, names change weekly, don't they? So clearly there's a possibility there that there will be more good records forthcoming from Big Dada. It was great hearing that Infesticons record again.
Yeah, that's fantastic,
isn't it? Really terrific hearing quite a lot of that and just reminding yourself exactly quite how good this label was. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you've kind of forgotten. Certainly I've forgotten.
Can you see a link between being a journalist and running a label? Is it something you've ever considered doing?
I have no commercial nous whatsoever. It would be a disaster. I like the fact that you can see things from both sides, though. I think a lot of music journalists, you know, carry on being music journalists, but it's quite good when you take a leap into the, you know, you poacher turned gamekeeper, or possibly gamekeeper turned poacher. It's interesting because he's clearly a passionate man, and you have to be passionate if you're going to A, run a label, which will not actually make you millions, and being a music journalist, let's face it, isn't exactly a golden road to riches either. So you have to kind of like what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm hoping that there's a very roundabout way of leading up to he probably has some very good ideas about what will interview well, what will sell in terms of stories as well.
Well, you know, I wouldn't do it. Kitty wouldn't do it. Let's just be thankful that Will did it. Big Dada's Juice Aleem has a single out on the 1st of March called Higher Higher, and Kick Anthem by Infesticons is available as a free download from bigdada.com now. Right, that's it for this week. Kitty, have you got something to plug?
The redesigned Observer.
Yeah.
It's new, it's compact, it's supple.
Supple.
It's supple.
It's flexible.
Supple.
The bit where I write is called The Review, and I'm informed that it's now called The New Review.
Wow.
It's all new, all singing, all dancing, bigger pictures, better quality. It's just going to be smashing.
And this new redesigned Supple Observer, that's out on Sunday, is it? This Sunday.
It will be setting newsstands on fire this Sunday.
Wow. Rosie, you get to sleep now?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably have to go downstairs and do loads more Brit stuff for the website.
We'll be back next week at our usual time of midday Friday with a feature with No Name making a welcome return, along with much, much more. My thanks to Kitty for coming in.
Cheers.
And as ever, my thanks to Rosie.
You're welcome.
For joining us, despite her lack of sleep.
Yes.
Also, my thanks to producer Pete, who got up at the crack of dawn this morning to prepare this show. Well done, Pete. Good on you, mate. I'm Alexis Petridis, and we'll see you next time. Same place, same channel. Bye-bye.